At Arlington National Cemetery today, President Obama marked Memorial Day with his annual visit. He proclaimed it the first Memorial Day in the country since the war ended in Afghanistan.
For 147 years, our nation has set aside this day to pay solemn tribute to patriots who gave their last full measure of devotion for this country that we love. And while the nature of war has changed over that time, the values that drive our brave men and women in uniform remain constant.
As the president and the country pay homage to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, there is a new initiative that harkens back to World War II. It's a move to exhume the remains of nearly 400 sailors and Marines who died on the USS Oklahoma on December 7, 1941, after it was bombed at Pearl Harbor. Rear Admiral Michael T. Franken is the director of the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency. It's the one that's leading the effort. Admiral, why is the USS Oklahoma, which was bombed more than 70 years ago, the focus of this exhumation, and why now? Why retrieve the bodies and identify them so many decades later?
Well, the Department of Defense has always remained committed to identifying and accounting for the lost Americans in past conflicts. Recent advances in forensic science technology, as well as family member assistance in providing genealogical information, have now made it possible to make these individual identifications for service members long buried in graves marked unknown. The largest concentration of those unknown marked graves have to do with the USS Oklahoma, sank in December 7, 1941, in Pearl Harbor.
And why is it the case that the largest concentration, as you said, of sailors and of Marines who went down were on the USS Oklahoma?
Well, morning of December 7, the USS Oklahoma, its position at the pier on that Sunday morning was such that it was provided the perfect bullseye for dropping of Japanese aircraft with torpedoes. So the ship sustained in rapid fashion torpedo hits to its starboard side, I believe, and it rolled over very quickly, trapping many service members and Marines below decks or killing them outright.
But why has it taken so long? Because there have been laboratories who've been working on identification procedures for a long time now with really amazing success, especially from the deceased of World War II.
Well, we were never entirely confident that we could make a high level of identifications. So to do the identification, you can take a DNA sample, but you need to have the family a reference sample to do the three methods of DNA tracking. So it wasn't until recently that we have this capability, and we have also the capacity in the various labs and in my laboratories to do this.
Admiral, have you spoken to any of the family members of the deceased from the U.S. Oklahoma yourself?
I have.
And tell us about some of those conversations.
Well, they're all heart-wrenching, as you can imagine. They've been waiting since that day, and they've seen other unknowns get identified, and they've been waiting for this opportunity. They are also brothers and sisters, usually, and of course, they too are that greatest generation. They're getting older. So now it's the next generation, and sometimes the generation after the next generation, who have now taken an interest and are carrying forward the quest that their loved ones be brought home. So these disinterments happen at the Punch Bowl in Honolulu. But
Describe what the Punch Bowl is.
Well, it's the inside of a long dormant volcano, which was turned into a national military cemetery. It's a phenomenally peaceful place located not far from downtown Honolulu. And as anyone who's gone to any defense or veterans a cemetery will tell you that these are perfectly laid out tombstones, and throughout that cemetery there are a number of graves marked unknown. A part of that decision to unearth or to disinter the USS Oklahoma was a policy statement that authorized my agency, along with other agencies, to disinter other unknowns as long as we have a high probability of identifying.
Do you know what the probability is?
Yes. for commingled remains.
These are remains of several.
Of multiple individuals, which is what the Oklahoma remains are. I am tasked with not doing a disinterment unless I have a probability of identifying 50% of the remains. For individual remains, that probability is 60%.
And so you're saying that the science makes that possible, that rate. For those,
It's not only science, Lisa. It's also the research to ensure that you have narrowed the probability down to that individual, because you must have the family reference to make that ID. So in the many, many unknown graves, you have to identify who is in that unmarked grave, which is part of the often overlooked aspects of this rather weighty decision.
So what do you mean by family reference? Maybe give us an example.
It is taking a swab of a person's inside of their cheek so that you can compare the bones that you're disinterring with that family DNA. We also use various anthropological techniques and dental analysis in order to make these identifications.
Are there families who have decided not to take part in this who would rather have their World War II veteran relatives' remains stay unidentified?
None that I know of. Other people have asked me that, and I've spoken, as I said, to other Oklahoma families and unknown and families that have other members that have not been found. Not a one has asked me to relent, to not look for their loved one. And interestingly, although you would think that some would say, yes, thank you, it's nice to know that my loved one is in the Punch Bowl Cemetery, every example that I know of since I've been here is the family requesting the remains be brought home to the family burial or a national military cemetery somewhere nearby home.
When the remains are identified, is there any information, aside from the identity, that you glean from those remains? In other words, will this help in any other way in terms of your research, not just for the family?
Well, in terms of cause of death, we don't become involved in that. This isn't forensic CSI-type activity. We do have other areas of study, but those have mostly to do with refining the art and science behind forensic anthropology and the DNA sampling. We have refined the amount of material necessary and the state of the remains to the point where just a bone fragment rather than a long bone sample, we are often successful in making identifications, including identifications in situations where the bones have been subjected to intense heat and the like.
Have any of the bodies been exhumed as yet?
I expect the first disinterment to occur later this month. We have made previous identifications, five, I believe, in 2003 as a result of a disinterment case when we received evidence that a particular person was in that grave.
What happens once the bodies are identified?
Immediately, the family will be notified that we have evidence of their loved one. They will be afforded an opportunity to take receipt of the amount of remains that we have at that time, or they will just acknowledge the fact that we have made an identification, and they will wait for a fuller consolidation or reassociation of the primary bones, and then take receipt in a solemn ceremony, which is followed by the normal military burial with the 21-gun salute, afforded all of the solemnity of a military burial today.
So with full military honors?
Affirmative.
Navy Rear Admiral Michael Franken, Interim Director of the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency, speaking to us from the Pentagon. Thank you, Admiral. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.